We could look at a verse in Isaiah chapter 12, 850. Verse 12 and verse 2 of chapter 12, beg your pardon. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Jah, Jehovah, is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. And with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And then if we could just refer to a verse in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, on whom though not now looking, but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable and filled with the glory, receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We'll perhaps refer to some other verses later. I'd like to speak about joy. I suppose joy is something that we don't see much of in this world. And it's defined, I think, probably as great pleasure and happiness. If you look through this Bible, this translation of the Bible, there's no reference at all to happiness in the Bible. Not the word happiness. The first mention of being happy, I think, is, or one of the first references, is around Solomon and his men. They were happy working under the King Solomon. But joy is something, I think, which is far greater. And joy is something that really only God can give. I suppose that we do experience joy, and we have periods of joy in our life, don't we? Perhaps when our first baby's born, or when we get married, or some event like that. But the joy I want to speak about today in the gospel is a joy that's never ending. It's an inward peace and a happiness and something that can't be taken away. And we'll perhaps touch on that. So this first verse came to mind. It speaks about God as my salvation, and Jehovah is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. And this is speaking about somebody that came to know God. And what it tells us that in the next verse is, and with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I want to speak about that well of salvation too, because it tells us in John's Gospel that Jesus is a living water, and it speaks of him as being a well that springs up into eternal life. And that's the well of salvation, is knowing the source of Jesus as your salvation. The woman that was there that the Lord met at that well in John chapter 4, she was asked by the Lord to give him water to drink, and she couldn't draw any water from that well. It was deep, and the Lord spoke about water that he could give, that she'll never thirst again, and that will spring up to eternal life. And that's the wells of salvation, I think, and that water, that supply, can only be found in Jesus. The Psalms are full of references to joy and rejoicing. Psalm 35, you don't need to look them up, but Psalm 35 verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in Jehovah, it shall rejoice in his salvation. I trust tonight that my drawing your attention to the work of the Lord Jesus may result in you having some joy. The Bible starts off really with no mention of joy, I don't think, until Deuteronomy. But it ends, the Bible ends in Revelation with that there'll be a new city, Jerusalem, where there will be no tear and no sorrow and no sadness. You know, in the hand of God, it is just joy. That's all that will be left, being able to have the knowledge and joy of your salvation fully and for eternity. But today, the gospel is going out that you might believe in Jesus as the one that is the saviour of sinners. And I want to just draw on several verses in the Bible which illustrate how there was joy through the life of Jesus. And I guess the first to think about would be in Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people, for today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord." What a wonderful message of joy that came in when the Lord was born. Jesus came as the Saviour of the world. And the angels there announced glad tidings. And so the gospel is glad tidings, and the Christian should demonstrate the presence of joy and happiness. And that's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for all of us, because our life, we have our ups and downs in our life. But inward joy and happiness should be what's present in every believer, because it's given by God. That joy is not something that we make, or the way we live our life, or the happiness that we can have here. It's not something like that. It's given by God. It's an inner peace. It's an inner joy that's to last forever. So it started, there was evidence of joy, that God could announce his pleasure in the Lord Jesus in his life when here, "This is my beloved Son in whom I found my delight." You know, that God must have had joy in his Son, in his life here. And then we go through the Bible, John's Gospel, and I'm only going to draw on a few verses, but John 15, verse 11, we've read it when we've in our Bible readings. "I have spoken these things to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." So Lord Jesus, when here, the words of the Lord bring about joy. And they're able to bring joy by you trusting in him as your Saviour. He wanted us to know the joy that he had. And in that sense, Jesus is a perfect example of one that really demonstrated joy and happiness. You know, he was perfect, he was holy, he was sinless. And you know, it's sin that takes away joy. And I suppose the prime example of that would be David, who sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba. And he lost his joy. And it's in his Psalm 51, he acknowledged his transgression. And if I can find it, he asked to have a "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit." And then it says in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and let a willing spirit sustain me." And so a Christian may lose the joy of their salvation, but they will not lose their salvation, and that's really important. If you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and accept him as the one that came here to die and to shed his precious blood for you, you know, that joy is everlasting. It can never be taken away, but your appreciation of it and enjoyment of your salvation may wane, and it is sin that causes it to wane. But you know, the wonderful thing is that we've got a God and Lord Jesus that is able to forgive every sin. If you confess your sin, he's able also to forgive your sin. And so it's important that if we do feel we're not in the enjoyment of our salvation, that we can cry to the Lord to forgive us and to renew that joy that you can have. And so there may be someone here tonight that perhaps has put their trust in Jesus but has slipped away and is not really enjoying being a Christian. And you know, tonight is an opportunity for you just to cry to Jesus and ask him to give you that peace and joy and happiness that you can know in trusting him. You know, Jesus has done everything to secure you and to save you. We Phil prayed before the preaching. He said, there'll be joy in heaven over repenting sinners. You know, the wonderful thing is God is a God of joy, and he wants to rejoice in every believer that puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. Tonight is your opportunity to trust in him. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, which is sometimes hard to believe, but I think we come to realize it. Hebrews 12 and chapter 2. Looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a wonderful thing that Jesus, because of the joy of the joy that was lying before him, and I think that refers to the joy of the work that he was to do in securing believers for himself. What a wonderful thing. Jesus came here, he was born, and there was great rejoicing. He led a life that was perfect and holy and spotless, and God rejoiced in his life, but that life led to the cross, where Jesus, it says here, he endured the cross, despising the shame of the cross. What awful shame a Roman cross was to be put on that cross. You were known to be a criminal, known to have done absolute wrong to be put on a cross. Jesus, who did no sin, was made sin for you and for me. Jesus went that way and died that way so that he could redeem us to God. What a wonderful thing. That's the joy that we can have. We can be brought back to God as trusting in the Lord Jesus, who was on that cross and died and shed his precious blood. What a wonderful thing. Think about that joy, though, that Jesus had. He knew what he was to suffer, the awfulness of the crucifixion, the awfulness of the sufferings that he bore at the hands of man, and the wickedness and the beatings that he had. With his stripes, Isaiah 53 says, we are healed. You know, those stripes, I don't think we will ever comprehend the suffering that the Lord went through. And then the Lord suffered at the hands of God in those 3 hours of darkness when he bore the absolute penalty and judgment of God for sin. That sin was completely removed. He broke the power of Satan, broke the power of Satan's power, which is death. He broke it by rising again from the dead. Jesus is risen. And that reminds me of what the disciples, when the Lord had risen, they rejoiced having seen the Lord. You know, that's a feature again of Christians, that they were happy. They rejoiced in the Lord because he was risen from the dead. They saw the Saviour that they thought they'd lost forever. He came back as a living one, and he was there as their Saviour and friend. I was thinking of Zacchaeus too. Zacchaeus was a small man who wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed up into a tree, thought he'd be able to get a good view of Jesus because of the crowd that were obscuring Jesus. And he got up into a tree, and you know, Jesus knew he was there and came and stood right under that tree and asked Jesus to come down. And he said because he wanted to dwell with Zacchaeus that day. And it says Zacchaeus received him into his house with great joy. And that's what tonight, I trust each and every one receives Jesus into your heart and accepts him as your wonderful Saviour and washes your sins away and gives you that inner peace and joy. What a wonderful thing it is to have that joy. So we read in Peter as to, and the reason I read the verse in Peter was because Jesus isn't here. He's risen and ascended on high. We preach the gospel tonight I know Jesus as my personal Saviour because I've trusted in him. But I can't show you Jesus, I can't point him out to you for you to see for yourself. It says here, whom having not seen, ye love, on whom, though not now looking, but believing. And this is a scripture that shows that it's faith that you need to believe in the gospel. Faith is believing something that you can't see. And, you know, that's what's required. It's given by God to each and every one of us to believe. God gives us absolutely everything to secure our salvation. There's nothing we have to do. We don't have to give anything. And what we need to believe, even the faith, it says even a faith as a grain of mustard seed is able to move mountains. Craig reminded us of that a few weeks ago. And, you know, that faith is what God has given us. And if we have that faith of not seeing anything, but just believing, then we're able to exult, it says here, with joy unspeakable and filled with the glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what the gospel is about, is securing the salvation of your never-dying soul. You know, one day we'll be with the Lord forever and we'll see him face to face. And, you know, that's when we'll truly be rejoicing. We'll be joying in the greatness of the Lord and what he's done and all he's done. What a wonderful thing it is. I just got one verse I wanted to refer to in Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God fills us with joy, and that's what I wanted to really bring out here. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as a believer, each and every one of us is given the Holy Spirit when we trust in the Lord. You know, that's a wonderful power that's in us. Jesus isn't here, we said, and we have to have faith to believe. But when we accept that faith and make it for ourselves, God immediately responds and gives us the Holy Spirit, so that we've got something that's living inside us, which is something of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit will help us in everything that we do and lead us in the right way. And the Spirit, it tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace and others. But the thought of the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of joy in a believer. And that's what should be seen as I started. We should be showing joy as a believer. And it says here, the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing, joy and peace in believing. And that peace is really important. You know, there's not much peace that's certain. We have a life that's very turmoiled and difficult, and yet there's an inner peace that you can have, knowing that God is in control, God is over everything, and God is able to give you not only that peace, but also that inner joy. So, the Bible's full of references. Philippians 4, I think it says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. What a wonderful thing it is. That's what the believer has to do. And Graham, my father-in-law, has in his study a little text which says joy. And it says, Jesus first, others next, yourself last, using J-O-Y. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. You know, you have to put Jesus first to really know joy. Jesus is able to give you that joy. And you know, for you to have that joy, everything of yourself has to disappear and you need to let Jesus into your heart. So yourself needs to be last. You need to think of everyone else other than yourself. But first of all, you need to trust in Jesus. And I hope tonight, each and everyone in this room will leave this room knowing Jesus as their own personal Saviour. Know him as the one that can give you joy. And may you and me experience and express something of the joy of our salvation. May you do so for his name's sake.
Amen.